I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the day after the party or the feast. The day after the party or the feast. It was a wonderful day when the prodigal son returned home. He had taken that which was his and had gone into the far country. He had spent all of it and found that, as all people do who go into the far country, that when the far country citizens have taken all you have, then they're through with you. They have no use for you. You go ahead, go the Hollywood route. You'll find not enough friends out there to help you when all is gone. Go the nightclub route. Go the liquor route. Go ahead, young people. Break the bondage and break the yoke. Go ahead. You'll find one of these days when you're at the bottom of the rope and you've come to the end of the road and drunk the last dregs of the cup, you'll find the only people you'll have to turn to will be God's people. They come to my office like a mighty army of people, the leftovers of the world. After the world has sucked their blood and sucked their money and gotten their beauty, and now an old person comes in, or a person who's prematurely old, with the money gone and the beauty gone and the excitement gone. They stumble back to my office and say, "Preacher, can you help me? I played the fool." You always play the fool when you go into sin. You always do. Person that thinks it's smart to drink plays the fool. Person that thinks it's smart to live riotous living plays the fool. Person who thinks it's smart to go out on dope and rock music plays the fool. I know it looks attractive, but the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Doesn't say when it begins, bring forth death. Sin always looks good at the first. It always looks nice. But in the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now, what a time he had. My, 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 what a good time he had. Oh, boy, can you see him as he drove the big car and as all the pretty girls wanted to go with him? And can you see his nice garments and wardrobe? And can you see his jewelry as it sparkled on his finger and on his garments? Can you see the crowd that gathered around him? And can you see the wine glasses? And can you see the big time? And can you see the country club kind of life? And can you see him buying all the drinks? And can you see him bringing the money out? And people saying, "Hail, hail, the gang's all here, for he's a jolly good fellow." Can you see it? But he came to the end of the rope, and he went down and down and down. The only job he could find was a job feeding the pigs, the hogs in the hog pen. You can imagine what that was, because the most unclean thing in the world to a Jew was a pig. A hog. Pork was a food that was outlawed. It was a cursed food. It was a heathen food. And now this young man is in the hog pen feeding the hogs. But he has nothing to eat himself. And so he takes the husk from the corn and fain would fill his own belly with the husk that the swine would eat. Now bear in mind, the swine had better food than he had. They ate the corn. He had the husk. And then one day he said, "This is foolish. The servants of my father's house have it better." I want to say this tonight. The custodian of the First Baptist Church of Hammond has it better than the person that's living in sin. The people that clean the floors and clean the toilets of this church have more fun than the folks who live in sin. And so he said, "Good night." He said, "My father has servants that have it better than I do. I'll arise and go to my father. And I'll ask you, make me as one of thy hired servants." Ah, he goes back home. Can you see? Ah, you've heard the story. Good night, the dad, perhaps on the front porch. You've heard every preacher in the world preaching about the old dad on the front porch, and looks out and he sees his boy. And I'm not sure the dad's on the front porch, whether he's in the bedroom or whether he was in the bathroom. I'm not sure what he was doing. But anyhow, the boy comes home. And the father comes out and they embrace. And the father says, "Welcome home, son. I'm so glad to see you come home." And there was a time of reunion. And the father goes next door and says to the neighbors, Hey, my boys, come home. Come on, we're going to have a big time." And he goes and gathers all the relatives and all the old friends and all the church people and all the neighbors. And he says to his servant, says, "Look, get the fatted calf." Now, wait a minute. I want you to notice this. He didn't say get a fatted calf. He said get the fatted calf. Why? Because he'd been feeding one up just to use when the boy got home. He knew the boy's coming home. He had no doubt the boy's going to get home. And so he had the fatted calf. The one. He had said to his servants, "My boy's going to come home one of these days. We're going to have a big party when he gets home. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to have some fun." And so he said, "I want you to take that calf right over there, and I want you to feed him the very best of everything. And I want you to get that calf all fattened, because we're going to have barbecued beef when my boy gets home. And, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Good night. Let's close the service and go. And so he said, he got that, and they fed that calf the very best, and they washed over that calf because that was the fatted calf. And he said, hey, servants, remember that calf? We've been getting all fat for my boy's return. The boy's home. Get it. Barbecue it. We're going to have some fun. And he said, remember that ring I bought? I've had that ring put aside just to put on my boy's finger to tell him I'm so glad to have him home. And those pair of shoes I bought especially for this party. And that robe, that new suit of clothes I bought especially for this party. Ah, son, I've got something for you. Son, put this robe on you. You're the honored guest at this party. Oh, but Dad, I've been in awful sin. Oh, but son, I'm so glad you're home, and we're going to have a big party for you. And all the neighbors are coming, and the church folks are coming, and all the relatives are coming, and we're going to have a big, big party. And son, put the ring on your finger, and put the shoes on your feet, and put the robe on, son. New suit of clothes on. Put it on, son. And they gather around, and can't you see them? One at a time, they come by. Those school teachers come by and say, John, sure glad to have you home. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we're so glad you're back. And, by the way, are you in the far country tonight? Are you fain filling your belly with the husk the swine did eat? Are you eating out of Satan's garbage can called dope and rock music and liquor and the country club set? Huh? Are you? Are you the martini-sipping crowd and the card-playing, bridge-playing, gambling crowd? Are you? Are you the horse-race-betting crowd and the riotous-living crowd? Are you? Let me tell you something. God wants you home tonight. And if you'd come to God, God would forgive you. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so they had a wonderful time. Can you see? The old Sunday school teacher coming by and saying, oh, John, I'm so glad to see you. I prayed for you all the time you were gone. Never one night. But I didn't pray for you, John. I'm so glad to see you home. Ah, John was having a big time. All the attention and all the carrying on. You never heard such carrying on in your life. Yet, there was another son. And that son was out in the field. And he heard the noise. He heard the singing. He heard the merrymaking, and he came in. He said, what's going on here? What's happening here? And somebody said, your brother's home. Your brother's home. And he said, what's the hot about that? I'm glad he's home, but what's all the party about? What's all the music about? And they said, your brother, he's home. Your dad killed the fatted calf and put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And he said, well, what do you know about that? And jealousy gripped his heart, and I think it was justifiable jealousy, to be quite frank with you. And he said, well, now, I've been here all these years, all this time, and I never got a calf killed for me. And I've been out there in the field all this time, and I'm repeating now a little of a message I preached one time recently. He said, I've been out there in the field. I got up in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I gathered the eggs and chopped the wood and milked the cows, and by the time I had breakfast, went out before the sun was even up. I was out in the field, and I worked from the time the sun went and having a lot of fun and spending the money that belonged to my dad that was his inheritance. And then they're having a party for him. And by the way, I think he had a case. We spent too much time scolding this guy. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you had a brother that took half of your dad's inheritance. And suppose your brother went out and slept till noon every day and drove a nice Cadillac automobile and had pretty women and nice clothes. And there you were out in the field sweating day by day and doing your work. I expect you to feel about the same way. And he said, nobody ever gave me attention. Now, wait a minute. The party's over. Hey, the party's over. And the prodigal son goes to bed. And he says, boy, it's good to be home. It's a good to see all the old people again. Boy, what a good time that was. And boy, I'll tell you, that's the best barbecue I've had. That dead sure beats barbecued corn husk. I'll tell you for sure. And that smell of that barbecue sure beat that smell of the hog pen. You know, slop number 5, you know. And oh, it sure beat that. And oh, what a good time we've had. Oh, it's so good to be home. But let's return to reality. For tomorrow's sun is going to rise. And the Sunday school teacher is going to be at his work. And the friends and neighbors have duties to perform. I can see the prodigal son now. Give me your attention. Alarm goes off. It's dark outside. Good night. It's 4 o'clock. His brother says, "Hey, get up, bud!" He said, "Get up. This is my going to bed time. It's not getting up time. Time I usually go to bed." His dad says, "Get up! Up, Adam! Gotta go out and chop the wood." "Oh, Dad, haven't got any more rings?" "No, just one time the ring, son. Take it off, you may get blisters on your finger if you use it while you chop the wood." "Dad! How about that, new suit today? I got one yesterday." "Sorry, son, that'll last you for a whole year."
"Well, Dad, I'm just one of those that needs my 8 hours sleep."
And the dad says, "Son, I think I heard you say yesterday, make me as one of thy hired servants." "I know, Dad. So what?" "Well, my servants get up at 4 o'clock." "But, Dad, don't you love me anymore?" "Servant, go to work." "Well, Dad, I'm the guy that we had a party for yesterday." The dad said, "Yeah, next year we'll have another one." "But today, get up! Get out there to work!" He gets out there and begins to chop wood. A blister rises here on his hand. He says to his brother, "You chop for a while." And his brother said, "No." Said, "You said, make me as one of thy hired servants." Now, by the way, his brother still had his money. The brother had kept his. The brother had saved his or invested his. Now, the stark reality, ladies and gentlemen, listen. The stark reality. You say, "Well, I'll go into sin, and I'll come back to God, and God will forgive me." There's a man who comes to this church, who's leaving his family, leaving his wife, for some wicked, heathen, gay woman. And he said to his wife, "You'll take me back, won't you?" And he said to me, he said, "I'm going to come back and serve God. I've got some news for you. When you go to the far country and stay out in the far country, you come back and walk down the aisle, we'll say, 'Bless God!'" That's wonderful. Folks, I'm so thankful. Oh, praise the Lord. He's come back, and the church will shout and praise God and shake your hand and say, "We're so glad to have you back." But tomorrow, we're all going to be at work. And you've got to come back to face the reality. The party is over. And you've got to come down to the stark reality of the day after the party. There is an entire life to be lived after the party's over. Now I want to give you a few realities. First, the adjustment. The adjustment. He gets out there, sun up, starts picking cotton. You ever pick cotton? And he starts picking cotton. And he puts it in his sack. Puts it in his sack. I got a short rolls here because I got a short card, a cord, a short cord, short card. And so he gets the cotton, puts it in his sack, puts it in his sack, and he picks cotton about 30 minutes. Then he says, "Is it lunchtime yet?" And his brother says, "It's 6:30. "In the evening?" "No, in the morning." "Oh, his knees get, did you ever pick cotton? His knees get all sore." And so he gets up on his feet for a while. Then he picks it like this. And then his back gets sore. And he gets down his knees for a while. And he picks it like this. And his knees get sore. And over there across the way, his brother's whistling. "We'll work, Till Jesus comes. And he said, good night. My brother seems to be enjoying this. Not even 7 o'clock in the morning. Listen to me. Go ahead and go in the world. But I want to tell you something. There will be a character deterioration and decay that will make your life miserable the first few days or months or years you come back home. Don't you think for a single minute that you'll come back home. See, you've developed some appetites. There's some thing, you develop a certain manner of living. A certain time to get up in the morning. Listen to me. The day after the banquet. One of the hardest days in his life. Young people, I want every person in this room tonight, everybody in this room, under 20 years of age, to look at me and give me your attention carefully. Now, I'm going to tell you something that apart from your salvation is probably the most important thing I'm ever going to say to you as long as I'm your pastor. Listen to me. Carefully. You had better develop your character traits while you are young or you will be a miserable adult. Sure he's home. Sure they had the party. Sure he has a new outfit. Sure he has some new shoes. Sure he still has the still burping or belching that delicious barbecue. And in his mind there rings the joy of the music and the fellowship and the welcome. But the truth is the party's over. And he has not learned to work. Young people, you do not understand what your unwillingness to help around the house is doing to your entire life. You, young ladies, you do not know, young ladies, listen to me, you do not know what your unwillingness to make your bed and clean your room is doing to your entire life. And I'm not kidding. You are developing work habits. You are developing principles and character traits. And if you don't get them while you're young, you will never completely get them. Now what you better do, you better force yourself to work while you're young. Listen. If you are lazy while you're young, you will be lazy when you're an adult. Now you can be lazy while you're young because dad brings home the bacon and mom keeps the house. But when you get older, if you have not developed, listen to me, if you have not developed some work habit, you don't understand it now, but you have no comprehension how you're going to suffer for the fact that you don't do your homework. I'm talking to grade school students. I'm talking to, listen to me. I'm talking to junior high students. I'm talking to high school. I'm talking to college students. You do not have any idea in this world what your refusal to do your homework is doing to make your life miserable and unsuccessful when you grow up. Little boys and girls, you ask mother and dad for some chores around the house. Teenagers, you ask your parents for some chores, some work, and do it. Oh, he's back home, and the party was great. But can you imagine how he enjoyed the next day, and the next day, and the next day? Punctuality, being on time. You have no idea. You say, well, why did I get demerits for being late to class? What's the bad about being a minute late to class? Because you're developing a character weakness that will destroy you someday. It will. Now you say what you want to say, and you can go ahead and laugh at me and make fun and leave your bed unmade tomorrow morning and leave the house, your room unclean tomorrow morning and don't mow the yard. Some of you boys, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, your dad gets out 40 and 50 and 55 and 60 years of age and mows the yard. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And that boy right there was that high. I got him a toy lawnmower. And he got beside me, and while I pushed the big one, he pushed the toy one. When he got about 11 years old, we traded. Just because you get saved, brother, won't give you character. God will forgive your sins, and the angels in heaven will rejoice. Or if you just because you get right with God, he won't give you. Listen, character is made by routine over and over and over and over, doing right, doing right, doing right, doing right, doing right, doing right, working hard, working hard, working hard, being on time, being on time, being on time, being on time. That's the way you make character. I'll tell you what. A lot of you folks, you got a little beauty. You're sort of pretty. You think you are. And you get by on your beauty right now because everybody likes you because you're pretty. But you wait till crow's feet take the place of that soft skin right there. And you wait till you start wearing turtleneck sweaters because you got a flabby neck right there, like I'll probably have someday. Yeah. And you wait till you start unbuttoning the top button around the waist. And you wait till that hair begins to turn a little gray, and you gotta put some color on it to keep it, formula, Grecian formula 16 or 24. You wait! Let me tell you something. Listen. There is a physical attraction to the opposite sex that is still present when the physique is gone and the figure is gone. And the beauty is gone over somebody who is successful. If you want men to care for you or like you when you get older, you've got to develop some character traits while you're younger so that you'll be the kind of person that'll have integrity and character that'll be appealing when you get older. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. The next day after the party, the guy stayed home was having all the fun. He liked to work. He liked to work. You better develop punctuality. You better develop while you're young, getting up early. Very idea. Are you teenage kids sitting and lying down there in your bed? Mama says at 9:30 in the morning, get up! And all you do is turn over to the other side and let it get warmed a while. You lay there, your mama's doing the work, or your dad's out doing the work, and there you lay down. See, here's what you do. You went to the youth activity last night, didn't you? Didn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning, did you? Yeah. Well, guess who had to come up here and get your little carcass and take you home? So you kept him up. Boy, this is preaching, isn't it? Huh? God's power is moving in this place tonight. And you kept him up to 1 o'clock in the morning at 1:30. He went to bed the same time you did. Or your mother went to bed the same time you did. And they got up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And your little carcass lays down there till 10, 11, or noon. Now, you don't think much of that right now. But you wait till you grow up with that kind of work ethic and work habit. And you're going to find out one of these days. Party's over. Party's over. Boy, the next day, that brother been working all these years. He's in the routine. Boy, he's out there saying, I believe I can pick 600 pounds today. The other guy says, I don't think I can pick 6 more bowls in the cotton. And the young boy, older boy, been working all the time. He says, boy, the sun is pretty, isn't it? And the younger fellow says, oh, it's sort of slow getting over to the other end. Yeah. You better develop it. Character. You better develop getting up early while you're young. You better develop paying your debts while you're young. You better develop not, listen, I know some young people in this church, I know at least that many, who are thieves. Thieves! I know some people in this church that you, young people in this church, teenagers, that come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, And you know what? They are not trustworthy enough to be in your house alone. Now go ahead, kids. Steal a potato chips out of the school. Go ahead. When the teacher's not looking, go down to Goldblatt's and steal a few things down there. Go to the bookstore over here. I want every child to hear me now. Go to the bookstore over here. Pick up some little toy that you want for yourself. Go ahead! What you do not know is you're developing a character trait that will be with you all of your life. And you'll be trying to get things that aren't yours. And you'll be trying to steal. And you'll cheat on your income tax. And you'll cheat on your tithe. And you'll take, if you're a treasurer of some outfit, you'll take the money for yourself. Why? You are not going to cheat when you're 5, and when you're 6, and when you're 7, when you're 8, when you're 9, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and suddenly quit when you grow up. You're not going to do it. Sure, he's home. But not a single appetite that's been created while he was out in the world is gone. There. Still there. Let me say this. Young people, while you're young, you get proper eating habits. I am appalled. Appalled. When I stop and realize, some young folks have never tasted a grape. And if there's a grape there, and a package of barbecued potato chips, you'll say, I don't like those. And grab those potato chips or get you a hot dog and a Coke and like that. And you are developing some eating habits that will one day ruin your life. These doctors tell you the truth. These doctors' offices are full of middle-aged people that never developed decent eating habits. Party's over. I want you to notice, party's over. The new suit is hanging snugly in the closet. The new shoes are on the floor of the closet. The ring is in the jewelry box. And nothing is left but the carcass of that calf and the memories of yesterday. And now today, he's in the field. Blisters on his hands. Blisters on his knees. His back is sore. Why? Because he did not have character. Let me tell you again. It'll be fun for a while when you get right with God. But I'll guarantee you one thing. After the party's over, you're in for a long, hard go. But that fella who stayed home, alarm goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning. Sure, he's sleepy. Sure, he wonders where he is for a while and who he is and if he is. Sure. And sure, he checks the... He doesn't know what's ringing, just something's ringing. He checks to see if it's the smoke alarm. If it's not that, he tries the telephone. If it's not that, he goes to the door. See if the doorbell's ringing. If it's not that, in the process of elimination, it's the alarm clock. You're supposed to get up. Well, you're already up now. He's up. He goes out and gathers the eggs. He says, thank you, Liz, for your contribution. How are you this morning, Liz? The hens go, well, they go, whatever a hen does. Some of you hens tell me, what do hens do? And so, he says, good morning, chicks. And a younger brother says, that's not the kind of chicks I'm used to. And he says, these don't get you in trouble. You heard about the chicken and the pig that were fellowshipping. And the chicken said, we have done an awful lot for mankind. He said, you and I together have blessed so many people. And the pig said, in what way? And he said, just think, said the chicken, how many people at this moment are eating ham and eggs? And the pig said, yeah, I said, you can talk about it. I don't like to talk about it. Say, with you, it's just a contribution. With me, it's a real sacrifice. Ah, that was a good one. Now listen to me. Young boy goes out, and he sings, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Good morning, good morning. Another new day is dawning. A happy, cheery, bright good morning will last you all the day long. And the younger brother says, man, cut that singing out. I got a splitting headache. And the young fellow says, boy, let's get out. I want to get all that cotton pick and get all that chopping done, all that planting done. Let's get with it. Why? He has character. That's why. Now you sit there and make light of what I'm saying. Go right back and put your little lazy carcass in that bed. And I'm not kidding you for a minute. But one of these days when the party is over, you're going to have a work ethic that is dead and that'll wreck you and ruin you and destroy you. To where that, look, that's why folks say, oh, I want more holidays. I want more days off. I want a 32-hour week. There is a certain way that you can grow up and a way that you can rear your children where they will detest the thought of only working 32 hours a week. Children, listen to Brother Hiles. Do your homework. Help around the house. Carry out the garbage. Young ladies, do the dishes. Iron.
Oh, that's iron. Iron. Well, it's hot. Iron. Well, it's just not what iron.
Well, I scorch something. I like to scorch something, too. Oh, I thank God tonight that I was poor for that one reason. I thank God tonight so we could keep eating at our house. I had to work. And I learned to work. And I learned to sweat. And I learned to get blisters. Let me say this tonight. If I had not learned as a child the work ethic, you probably wouldn't have a Hiles Anderson College here. And you probably wouldn't have a Hammond Baptist High School here. Work! There's a second thing. That's this. We've noticed the adjustment. Now let's look at the job. What kind of job did he have? Okay. His brother had his money. This fellow had spent all of his. Probably the rest of his life he worked for his brother. Brother was his boss. Yeah. He said, my brother would never be my boss if you had the choice of eating husk or food or living in a house or in the hog pen. You might be surprised for whom you'd work. Now, why? He'd use his up. Father said, son, here's yours. And son, here's yours. The older son went out in the field and worked, developed habits of work and the work ethic and the work principle. The youngest son spent all of his money. It's all gone now. I want to bring this out for you. There are certain things that you are not supposed to use up while you're young. And what you use while you're young, you will not use when you get old. Now listen to me. A little couple stood in my office this morning. High school couple had slept with each other. I mean some of the best families in the church. And I'll not at all reveal who they were because there are other cases like this. And told me about their sin. Now, I'm sure they're forgiven. And I love them. And I wish the best for them. But they have reached out into adulthood and stolen something from adulthood and used it up in their teen years, which won't be there. That exploring together. Go ahead and neck and pet, kids. Just kiss your little old lips chapped. Go ahead. And call for the Hiles a fuddy-duddy. And tell, I just don't believe in all that. Go ahead. I said, go ahead. But every time you take one, you're stealing one from your future. and you're learning some things now before you can learn them in the proper enjoyment, you're robbing yourself. Ah, these couples that stand here at the altar and marry each other and enjoy their first kiss at the altar, or endure it, whichever way they do, at the altar. Many of you have already stolen that. You've already used it up. You've used your first kiss up. Hey, don't you laugh at me while I'm preaching something decent to you. Somebody ought to grab you little girl and take you and put you over their knee and tan your little bottom. Or big bottom, whichever it is. Don't you dare laugh at me. If there is truth, what I'm preaching is true. Some of you Howells Anderson College students. Can't wait till you get somewhere where nobody's there to watch you so you can kiss and embrace, you dirty cheat. Why don't you pack your duds and go on home? That's the third thing. The lust. This brother at home never tasted alcohol. He couldn't crave it. His brother tasted it. He could crave it. Brother stayed at home. Had never known sexual activity. He didn't crave it. Brother that had been gone has some fires burning he cannot put out. He knows what it's all about. Young man sat in my car not long ago, and he said, Brother Hiles, he said the worst thing about my sin is there's some things I know I wish I didn't know. Some things I know I wish I didn't know. The lust. One fellow said to me, he said, Brother House, be easy on us folks that on our drinking. I want to quit drinking, he said, but you don't understand it. He said, I took my first drink when I was 4 years of age. He said, all the time I was a child, my daddy would drink and give me a drink. And he said, Brother House, it's in there. The hunger, the thirst, the appetite. I'm a slave. Oh, he said, Brother House, you don't understand. You never tasted it. You don't understand. No problem for me to drive by this tavern down here. It's a problem to drive by without spitting. But it's no problem for me to drive by it. I'll be on the airplane tomorrow flying to Ohio, and the gal comes by the Bloody Mary. No problem for me to turn down Bloody Mary. I can't stand the sight of blood anyhow. No problem. If the person sitting beside me drinks a screwdriver, I always thought that hurt your throat. Person beside me drinks a screwdriver, no skin on my back. I won't sit there and say, oh, I wish I had it. Oh, no problem to me. Stinking stuff, I don't want to get close to it. No problem to me. For the prodigal son, it was a problem. Every time he smelled tobacco smoke, something inside of him craved it. Every time he saw the bottle or smelled alcoholic beverage, there was a craving on the inside. Hey, party's over now, isn't it? Party's over. Had a lot of fun at that party, didn't we? Yeah, but party's over. There's a life to live now. And young people and adults, it's a mighty tough life to live. Oh, yeah, God will forgive you. And, oh, yes, we'll be glad to see you. Fourth word, the guilt. Prodigal son comes back home. His brother has a girlfriend. Beautiful, chaste, virgin, lovely young lady. And he says, hey, bud, how about double dating? My girlfriend has a sister. She's a good Christian gal. How about us double dating? Follow me now. They sit there across the table at the restaurant. And the older brother is having a wonderful conversation, a clean, sweet conversation. But the younger brother is glancing up and down, trying to get a glimpse, maybe of the thighs, if he has opportunity. And he's sitting there looking at that virtuous young lady, lusting after her. And all of a sudden he says, to himself, I'm not worthy to go with a young lady like this. I'm not worthy. Oh, the guilt. Oh, the guilt! And then soon the word gets around. Mom, John's asked me for a date. John? John who? Oh, you know John. He's the guy that was gone home for a while. Honey, you think you ought to go with John? Huh? You think you ought to go with him? Well, Mama, he's gotten right. He came back home. Maybe he's the one he had a big party for. I know, honey, but just a few days ago, he was a wicked man, a fornicator, an alcoholic, an addict. Honey, your father and I don't want you to go with John. Hello, John. This is Mary. I'm going to have to cancel our date tonight. Why? Oh, I have other things to do. Oh. Oh. He tries to get a job somewhere. Fills out an application. Last place of employment. He writes, hog pen. Hog pen. And he reads the application, and it says, give us the name of four references. Party was fun, wasn't it? Didn't that barbecue taste good? Hey! Eat and drink! Be merry! What a garment! What a suit! What shoes! Look at my ring! Woo! I'm glad to be home, but wait till tomorrow. Now here's what happened, folks. Before you know it, he gets bitter. He gets bitter. How's a fella gonna change if the good girls won't go with him? I'll make this very plain. Not one single one of our daughters did I ever want to sacrifice on the altar of the test tube of somebody who got right with God last week. I'm saying before you go to the far country. Yeah, you say, well, I can come back and get right. You can come back and get right. But you can't get those lusts out. And you can't get that character in. And you can't get that job reference. And you can't get those dates. You would have gotten. And the next thing you'll say is, nothing but a bunch of Pharisees down to that church. Think they're better than somebody else. No. We don't think we're better than anybody else at all. We're just not ready yet to let you take our girls out and gamble on their losing their purity at your lustful hands. You better think about it before you go into far country. Better think about it. Better stop and think that the decent girls won't go with you when you get back for a while. A long while. Better stop and think about the kind of job. I talked to a young man in this church, been on dope. He couldn't find a job anywhere. Finally, he found a job. $3.49 an hour. Married man with two children. That's all he could find. He said, nobody wants to help a guy trying to get back on his feet. Oh, you going to hire a bunch of ex-cons? You had a business? And a fellow just had been on dope for 3 years and been an addict and just got off dope a month ago. You going to hire him instead of some of these good, clean kids? No, you're not. No, neither has anybody else got any sense. Now, what you better do is you just better stop and count the cost of what's going to happen after the party before you take your trip out and sin. You got the idea you can come back and get back and take up where you left off. You got a hole in your head. No, sir. First day is great. Party is wonderful. But after the party, pretty rough. And oh, the memories. Oh, the memories. Sat over here this morning with the Sullivan. Brother Sullivan stumbled into our rescue mission down here. And Brother Colston was superintendent there at the mission. Everything gone. Life ruined and wrecked. A drunk. Lost an arm because of sin. He got right. And thank God he did. And now he's the superintendent of the rescue mission. But if you'll notice very carefully, he didn't grow an arm yet. And I don't see one sprouting. You may get right, but you'll never lose the marks of the far country. And you'll never lose the lust of the far country. And you'll never lose the slothfulness of the far country. And you'll never lose the undisciplined life of the far country. Mom, Dad, the best thing you'll ever do for your children is not see to it that they make or get plenty of food to eat, though that's important, or get their sleep at night. If you parents don't get as concerned about making your kids work as you do about sure they get enough sleep so they can go to that they be rested, you might rear some pretty decent kids. Most of you parents are more concerned about a letter on a report card than you are the work ethic. And I mean, you're not concerned about how much they learn, it's what is on that report card. They can do the same amount of work. If you can get that grade changed, that's all you want. 90% of that is vanity. But there's a heap more. Listen, there's a heap more. What you better be concerned about is not what's on that card, but whether that kid does his work or not. Party's over. He's got a lot of life ahead of him. An awful lot of life. The alarm goes off the same time every morning. The wood goes unchopped unless he chops it. The eggs go ungathered. And the hogs go unslopped and the cows go unmilked. And the harvest goes ungathered. But he does it. It's awfully hard. It's awfully hard. That's what the Savior meant when he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's why the wise man said, "Take up your yoke in your youth." Dr. Bill Rice called and said, "Neighbor! Hello, neighbor!" He had talked, Bill Rice could talk on the telephone longer than any teenager I ever knew in my life. He wasn't a teenager. He is a 60-year-old man. He loved that telephone. To me, my letters are the same. My letters and my calls, I want to know what you want. I want to tell you what I want. Let's answer it and hang up and get to work. I got a preacher friend. He can't write me a letter and tell me that he feels good unless he writes 3 pages. My letters were all very brief. But Dr. Bill called me. He called me Solomon. He thought I was smart, wise. Dr. Bill Rice always called. He had a decision to make at the ranch. He'd say, "Hey, Solomon! Neighbor, or tap your brain. By the way," he said, "Solomon, you like for us to hire Dave as a cowboy at the ranch?" Dave was 11, weren't you, son? 12. I said, "What'll he do?" "Well," he said, "he'll brand the cattle. He'll shoot some snakes." Shoot. Boom, boom. Gone. My little 12-year-old boy. I'd go down the ranch to preach. He's 12 years old. 4 o'clock in the morning. He'd be up. And midnight, he's not in bed yet. Now, what you'd have done, you'd have gone, "Dr. Bill, Dr. Bill, I want to talk to you. I want, now, understand, I believe in work." "Well, okay, if you believe in work, then shut up." Some of you parents followed the bus to camp all the way down to Springfield. I won't tell you who she is because I'd embarrass her. But one of our good ladies, one of the finest fans we have. She has a little boy. Went down here the other day, they started one of those buses. tried to. And the old thing. Hop a chicka chicka, took a plank, 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 plank. And smoke started coming out of old butt. And she said, he'll never make it. Never make it. Two buses went. One old tucker. The engine ought to have fallen out before it got said limits. By the way, it got there okay, and the one running good didn't get there. I didn't go to Dr. Bill. Dr. Bill, I want to talk to you. You understand my boy's only getting 4 hours sleep. Now, you understand. I believe in work. Yeah, about an hour a day. Oh, sir. I'd see old Dave at 4 o'clock in the morning riding a horse by. I didn't go to Dr. Bill. I just turned over and back to sleep. Yeah.